is actually to give you a little taste of the practice of questioning. And so in terms of what we're going to do, I'm going to give some instructions for about 20, 25 minutes. Then we'll do some walking meditation in the style which is associated with this practice. So we all walk together in a line around there at an ordinary pace. Then we'll do 15 minutes sitting, again some walking, again some sitting, again some walking. And then after that I will give a talk, and then I will open it to discussion, and after that we'll see where we go from there. So the first thing I want to say about this practice, which I would say is a very simple and direct practice of sitting, walking, standing, lying down, or whatever you do, and you ask this question, what is this? So at that level it's very simple. And in a way this is generally the practice we do in the Zen tradition of Korea. And personally I think that this practice can be very complementary with an awareness practice. Because in the Zen tradition you also have the watching the breath, you have the just sitting meditation, and also you have the meditation with koans. And personally I would say generally it's good to have a ground, a base in the breath, because the breath will very much help you to be grounded, to settle yourself, and at the same time it makes you really appreciate the fact that you're alive in this moment. So I think it's a very ground, basic practice. But I think we should use these various techniques of meditation as tools of awareness. There is a breath, listening to sound, asking a question, they are tools. They are not end in themselves, nor are they sacred. They're just method which helps us to focus and helps us to look deeply into our experience. So at that level, personally, I don't feel this tool of awareness as being so much separate as complementary, that they can help each other, and also they can kind of help us at different times, I think, in the practice and in our life. So in Korean Zen, that's where I trained for 10 years as a nun. And for 10 years, I sat and walked and asked, what is this? What is this? And you would think, well, by now I would have an answer. But I don't. And I think it's very important to see that in the Zen tradition in Korea, it comes in a way from the Chinese tradition. In China, you had the Buddhism came in the 1st century, then in the 6th century arose its own peculiar way of Buddhism, Zen, or Chan, which actually Chan basically means meditation. And it was a way because the Buddhism then had become so scholastic that they wanted to return to something the Buddha did under the Bodhi tree. They wanted to come back to some kind of very essential way of practicing that the Buddha had taught in his time. And so there is two traditions in the Zen school. You have the Zen school which use koans, and you have the Zen school who use just sitting or silent illumination. The one I trained in was the one who used the koans. And you might have heard about koans. Personally, I'm just amazed when I read papers, magazines, they talk about koans. They talk about the famous one. What is a hand, or what is the sound of one hand clapping? This is a kind of a relatively well-known one. And actually, this one actually is quite a later one, because it was made up in the 17th century by Master Hakuin. And I would say there is a difference between the way people practice in China and Korea and in Japan. Because in Japan, the Zen practice was kind of going kind of a little weakened. And so Master Hakuin, in order to revitalize it, devised this series of koans. You went from one koan to the next. But this did not happen in Korea nor in China. In China too, something different happened it was associated with Pure Land. But again, that's another story. And in Korea, it just stayed more kind of as it was a little originally thought, as just kind of, you know, using the question to develop a sensation of questioning. So in a way, the koan themselves literally mean court case. And then they were used in the Zen tradition to refer to a story which happened between a master and a disciple and which had some relevance to the practice. One point was very important in it. So in this instance, so what is very important to see is that koans are not riddles. You know, the children, when they're young and they say, you know, why did the chicken cross the road? You know, and then you gave a clever answer. We're not doing that. You know, we're not kind of trying to find the best answer to the riddle. That's not the idea. And actually, the way this practice of asking a question developed was because Master Tawi, in the 12th century, found this was an easy way to do. You did not have to do anything special, you just had to sit and just ask this question, what is this? And so you could say, where does this question come from? And so the question comes from the first, in a way, the koan, the story that it comes from is such. You have the great master, Huineng, and there is a young monk who come to visit him. So the young monk enters the master's room, bow to him, and the master say, where do you come from? And so Huijia says, I come from Mount Sun, which is many day walk away. And then the master asks, what is this thing and how did it get here? And Huijia could not answer. So he then practiced in the monastery for many years. 8 years, they say. So although Zen is direct, it's not faster. And then, after 8 years, he had an insight. He had an awakening. And so he went to the master, and he told him so. And so Master Huineng said, what is this? And that's where the question come from. And so Huijia answered, to say it is like something is not to the point, but still it can be cultivated. So the whole story is a koan, and the main point of the story is a wado, is a question. What is it? So, what do? We sit, we walk, we ask, what is this? What is this? And what we have to be careful is that it is not a psychological nor an analytical inquiry or a speculation. We don't sit here, what is this? Could it be this? Could it be that? And I read this, what about that? That's not the idea at all. You really just sit and just ask the question. So in a way, I think we can, the way, especially in awareness practice, the way we could see it is that actually we ask the question to open to the moment. What is this? Because generally we're so fixed about the moment. The moment is like this, I am like that. But with this question, we actually throw the question into the moment to be, I would say, more aware of the moment. What is this? And so what we have to be careful is that we are not looking, nor fabricating, nor waiting for answers. So this practice is about questioning and not about answering. This is very important. And this is what is so difficult, I think, in the West, because we've been trained that if we ask a question, we must find an answer, because then we can have the next question and the next answer. But this is what this questioning actually is very simple. I mean, you could not have an easier practice. But at the same time, it's very difficult because it goes against our patterns. That, you know, if we ask a question, we must find the answer. When this is really going against that, and you kind of just think of the question as throwing the question, opening to the question, what is this? And so, In a way, by cultivating that questioning, I personally feel we cultivate openness. We try to open to the moment fully. And in terms of answering, we had this happened in Korea, with our teacher really liked to go working in the field. And so one day we were going to work in the field all together, and you had the German monk, and he said to Master Kuzan, "I find it so hard to ask the question when I work in the field." And Master Kuzan to say, "Oh, I have no difficulty asking the question when I work." And the German monk looking at him and kind of saying, he did not say it exactly like this, but he said something like, "But I mean, you must have answered it by now." He was reputed to have three awakenings. So, I mean, he must have answered the question. And Master Kuzan said, No, it's not about answering the question. You know, it's not that you find an answer, but that it's kind of you go through different stages with the question, but you question the question all your life. And so, of course, we asked Master Kuzan, "How do you do it?" And he said, "That's for you to find out in your own experience. Because if I tell you, then you're going to kind of, in a way, kind of imagine it. You have to experience it for yourself." So it's very much about questioning, about kind of developing a sensation of questioning, a sensation of perplexity, a sensation of, in a way, kind of uncertainty, nearly one could say. So it is unconditional questioning without any reference point. You're not asking, "What is this bowl? What is this glass? What is this feeling? What is this thought? What is this sound?" We're not doing that. We're just asking, "What is this?" Kind of very open, kind of ended question. And I think, personally, I think what this practice can help us is to defix, to help in the de-grasping. Because we so easily fix ourselves. "I am like this, I am like that, this is like this, this is like that." We kind of very, kind of constricted in the way. And I think the question helps us to say, "What is this?" It's kind of to bring openness and flexibility. So you kind of have more choices. And at that level, one can become more creative. And then, in turn of the practice, or what I would say, any Buddhist practice, for me, any Buddhist practice is about cultivating concentration and inquiry, samatha and vipassana. And our teacher too would say that. He would say, you know, kind of cultivate the quietness of the practice together with the vividness of the practice. So I would say that the concentration aspect of this practice is that you ask the question, "What is this?" The question asks an anchor. If you become distracted, you come back to the question. Become distracted, you come back to the question. So the question is what is anchoring us in the moment, but the question is asked within a wide open awareness. So when we come back to the question, actually we come back to everything in that moment. And notice that when we become distracted in meditation, we actually are not here. You know, you sit here and you dream you are in New York. And you actually are not here. You're not conscious of your body. You're kind of in that story about New York or whatever it is. And so what is interesting is when you come back to the question, "What is this?" You actually come back to your breath, to the sound, to your body, and to everybody in the room in this moment. So at that level, it is the same function as the breath or any other object of focus. It brings us to the moment and then brings us back to the awareness of what's going on. So in a way, in the foreground, you have the question, and in the background, you have this wide open awareness. Then you have the other aspect, which is the vipassana aspect, which I would call looking deeply and inquiring. Which when we ask this question, this is not a mantra. And we don't sit there, "What is it? What is it? What is it?" This is not, you can do it 1,000 times, it's not going to make a difference. So this is not a mantra, it's not sacred word, it's not special in any way. So everybody does it in their own language. And I would recommend you don't do it in English with a French accent, but to do it, you know, in your own way. Everybody does it in their own way. And So in a way, also sometimes people ask, where should I put the emphasis? What is the important part of this question? So some people ask, should I say, what is this? Or what is this? Or what is this? You know, but actually the most important thing is a question mark in this question. That's what you want to become. The whole body and mind to become a question mark. That's what we're trying to do. So in a way, I feel that the question is kind of to help us to develop a sensation of questioning. Actually, it's kind of a little like the feeling tone. You're kind of trying to develop a feeling tone, a sensation of questioning, of wonderment, of perplexity. It's kind of nearly kind of a pregnant feeling that we're like, what is this? And in a way, you have that sensation because you don't know. And they say the sensation is similar to when you lost something. Like if you, I don't know, lost your keys, or once I lost this pair now I've lost my glasses, my reading glasses. I've lost them. And I have no idea where they disappeared. And so whenever I think of my reading glasses, which were fairly expensive, that's why I kind of quite intense about it, and I think, where are they? And it's a mystery. I'm totally perplexed. And it's the same type of kind of thing we're trying to develop, this kind of not knowing, this opening to unknowing, to this sensation of unknowing. So you don't necessarily need to repeat the question a lot. So you could do it in different ways. You can do it with the breath. One technique is to do it with the breath. You breathe in, and as you breathe out, what is this? You breathe in, as you breathe out, what is this? Or you can just, in a way, just kind of sit there, and if you like to do the breath or whatever other practice you do, time to time just to throw the question, what is this? So just time to time to throw it and to stay with the sensation of questioning for a few seconds or minutes, and then when it dissipates, back to the question. So in a way, one plays with the question, one kind of tries to see how one can, in a way, get a handle of it. What is very important is not to ask the question in the head. You don't sit there, what is this? What is this? You kind of really try to sit, to be settled, and then to kind of ask the question with the belly. What is this? Try to bring the energy down to the belly. Ask with the, what is this? So bring it down. This is very important. Otherwise, one gets a headache. And you really try to cultivate a balance between the stillness and the vividness. So the calmness and the brightness. So that if you feel a little too agitated, confused by the question, then come back to the breath. And then take up the question again. So you can play with it in that way. Generally there are three responses to trying this question, I have found, as I teach it in different places. The first response is people try it, and they think it's fantastic because they always have felt like they were asking questions. And so in a way that really fits with kind of how their whole body mind work. And so they feel kind of like they really find kind of easy to do the question. Then you have another type of person who try the question and they sit there, what is this, what is this? And then they kind of like think, what a stupid question to ask, you know? Why should I do this? So I think if you really have this reaction, I would say go back to the breath and kind of, this is okay. You know, not every method will fit everybody. I personally, that's where I feel. Then there are some people who do it. They do the question and actually it unsettles them. Because it is a little unsettling. You know, what is this? And they feel a little unsettled, so I would say, do the breath most of the time and just time to time throw the question. So to kind of be careful there. Personally, I think it can really help us to open ourselves, to unblock our attention. And also I think in daily life it can help us, you know, when we have even a certain thought, a certain feeling, or some, you can say, what is this? And you know, it opens what is going on. What you have to finish with, what you have to be very careful is that This is not an existential inquiry. This is not an existential philosophical inquiry. Because sometimes I know sometimes it's very useful to do kind of a philosophical inquiry, but sometimes you start by asking something existentially, philosophically, and then you go into this very dark place where things are meaningless and things like this. This is not that. The question is very much within the context of ethics and wisdom, and I'll talk more about this later, and kind of very much within this matrix. So we're not kind of trying to kind of look at the meaning of the universe. This is not what we're trying to do. We're just trying to open to the moment in a fresh way. So that's what I wanted to say for now, for the instruction. Are there any questions about the question? Or does this seem relatively clear? So shall we try it? And so what I would suggest first is that we walk. Because that's one thing we do. I want us to do this over there, so we kind of form a line, and we just walk at an ordinary pace. But as we walk, we ask the question. So of course we're aware of our body, we're aware of the movement of the body, and as we move, in a way, over time, we can get a rhythm of asking the question, what is this? In a way, what is it that walks in this moment? You can also ask, what is it that walks, if that makes it easier for you. So that's what I would suggest we do now for 5 minutes. And then we come back, and then we'll sit for 15 minutes.